The Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best-loved trail shoe and apparel company. This month, we're giving you guys a chance to win a pair of brand new Innovate Trailfly trail running shoes. The Trailfly's 4mm rubber studs are perfect for gripping rock and hard-packed dry ground, and the graphene grip rubber outsole has also been improved from previous models to give better traction in wet conditions. These are my go-to day-to-day shoe, and I absolutely love them. To win a pair, simply head to our Instagram page, at Ultrasound System Pod. Click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you you're a winner. If you can't wait that long, you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit you purchase from the website with the code BHUSS15. That's BHUSS15. Innovate in a great more like. On with the pod.
Hello and welcome to the Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System Pod. This is another Legends episode. I am Anna Harding and I'm flying solo today without the company of compadre Miss Ali Bailey. Instead though, I am joined by another legend of running. So just a quick reminder, our Legends episodes are where you don't get the usual rubbish from me and Ali, but instead we chat to someone who we think is an actual legend from the world of running. So for this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by a former GB athlete who, in his own words, quit for rock and roll. In 2006, our guest reached the 800-metre final at the World Indoor Championships in Moscow, having clocked a PB and a Welsh indoor record of 1 minute 47.23 seconds in the semi-finals, which makes me lol, because that's almost half the time it takes me to run 800 metres when I'm fit. God knows what I'd do it in now. But despite his incredible talents on the track, our guest ran his last full season in 2007 before pursuing a career in music. After a few years on the rock and roll scene, he got back into running in 2019 and documented it all with regular social media updates and through his own podcast, Megabus to the Ritz, which is where I found out about him, I think. He also posts hilarious album review videos where he listens to an album on his run and describes it, usually with like the odd word here and there whilst running very, very fast somewhere in beautiful, deepest, darkest Wales. They're hilarious. So anyway, I can't fit everything into this one intro. And even if I did, there'd be not much point in having the actual guest on to talk about it because I'd have covered it all myself. But one final thing to add onto this CV for our guest is he is also co-founder of Running Punks. So born through the love of music, running with a slice of punk rock attitude thrown into the mix. Do you see why we've got him on this pod? So he and his co-founder, in their own words, set out with a goal of helping others to make improvements to their lives through running and to be awesome, unique individuals. Please welcome to the pod, it's Jimmy Watkin.
Yay, thank you.
Did I get it all right? Nice. Did I get it all right?
Well, I don't even know. Like, I
wasn't listening.
I just think I don't know, the fact infliction just blurs at some point. I don't know what's happened to my life. It's flashed by me. It's really exciting, but it sounds like the rambling of a drunk man sometimes.
Perfect.
But which you had it right.
Much, much like our podcast sounds most of the time. So yeah, I mean, although with one sober pregnant runner and one recovering alcoholic runner, so you know, that's yeah. Who we are.
Well, I'm sober as well, so we're good. We're in a good place.
We're in good company. Jimmy, I think I came across you when I listened to your podcast, The Megabus to the Ritz, which you started quite a good few years ago now, I think.
Yeah, I started it a while ago and I gave up. Yeah. Because I didn't think anybody was listening to it. And that's kind of, I'm always amazed when people ask me about the podcast because I think, oh, I didn't realize anybody was into it. And I keep thinking I need to get it back on the road, basically, because the whole thing was I was pretending to be a mega bus driver who was also a runner. And the whole podcast was me talking to passengers on the bus about running.
It was all a little bit like a fever dream, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. So there was that side of things. And then the other place where I sort of came across you was on Twitter with these just, quite frankly, ridiculous, outrageous album reviews just describe, like, where did the idea of that come from? And just, can you describe them to us?
The only way I can describe it is if you watch a cookery program on the telly and someone's cooking food even though you can't smell it, your mouth will still water. And I try and do that with music. Like, even though you can't hear it, I try to make your ears water, which sounds wrong. But I want to make people's ears salivate because they crave the sound of the music so much. So basically what I'm doing is I'm chopping up and preparing music. That's what I feel like I'm doing. I'm like a musical chef, and I'm describing all the flavors when I'm running. Yeah, I just put an album on. I run as fast and as hard as I can for the whole album and just shout about it into a GoPro, and then spend the majority of the day editing it and trying to think of, like, you know, just looking at all the clips thinking that definitely can't go on the internet and maybe that can. And yeah, putting all this madness through a sieve. That's what I do with the running reviews.
They are brilliant. Absolutely. Do check them out if you're listening and intrigued by getting your ears filtered.
Yeah, if you're not intrigued by that, I don't know how else I can sell it. That's it. But the idea for it came during lockdown, really early on in lockdown as well, because I'd started running again in 2019 and it like transformed my life. It really pulled me out of a dark place. And then 2020, the world goes into lockdown, and I was really scared of losing running. You know, I was really terrified about what would happen. I didn't care about the rest of the world. I was terrified about what would happen to me if I couldn't run anymore. And it's hard to remember what we were like at the start of lockdown. We didn't know what was happening. It was really terrifying. I didn't enjoy going out. I just wanted to stay indoors. So I just gave myself this little challenge to listen to an album I'd never heard of or heard before when running, and just to film myself talking about it, because I thought it would just take my mind off what's going on. And I think the first one I did was a Spice Girls one, and it kind of just, it went crazy. It was like at the perfect time, you know, everybody was stuck indoors on their phones a lot, and then there's a guy running around West Wales in an Hawaiian shirt listening to the Spice Girls the first time. It was perfect, really. It was perfect timing.
Yeah, I remember the Spice Girls one. And then you got people to recommend or to suggest albums to you to do. Was that right?
Yeah, so I started doing votes then. And there was things like, what's the best British album ever? And then people were just suggesting. So I was, I've never heard that one. I'll run to it. And then it really built that momentum where bands wanted me to run to the new stuff that was coming out. So I was getting a couple of big bands sending me albums before they came out. To do it, and then it just became this thing then where it was a laugh. It started out as a laugh, and then I was kind of becoming like quite not a serious music reviewer, but I was getting acknowledged for how in-depth the reviews were, and it was just it just became this really funny thing to do where I was just love music and I was talking about it in a way which kind of definitely nobody else on the internet was doing.
I mean, music's been a big part of your life as well, and so I mean, you're saying about quite serious reviews of music. I'm sure there was some quote there on one of your videos about a Dracula fighting another Dracula on a zip wire or something.
Yeah, that's so like, right. I mean, it's not serious at all. there's been a few where I've found chocolate bars on the floor and I picked them up and ate them. You know, I've stopped to speak to people who look lost. I've given directions to people who are on holidays. So they're not serious at all. But something about them, I think because they're creative, and obviously the people making the music are creative, they are seeing it and it's maybe striking a chord, and it's kind of not the usual run-of-the-mill album reviewing internet, which is mostly copy and pasted from a press release. It's like, oh, this guy is talking about it in an absolutely mad way, but it kind of makes sense. So in that way, it's like, it's serious for the artists in a way, because they really appreciate it. They appreciate that this is a person who's listening to it for the first time and giving a very unique spin on it. So,
yeah. No, definitely. And you, I mean, you've, like I said, you came from like a musical background. I mean, is it fair to say there was a bit of a tug of war of love between running and music at one point for you?
Big time. Big time. It was all about combating loneliness. we probably talk about it later, but as I spent time on the road as an elite athlete, I was really lonely, really lonely. And music was like my way of coping with that growing up. And it just reminded me of times and places. And I had this feeling that I just don't like feeling that way. So the real tug of war was, you know, I'm doing well as an athlete. I'm getting to do all these amazing races, but I'm feeling incredibly lonely. While on the other hand, I've got a little band going with mates, and we go to play gigs, and there's always people at gigs meeting you and hanging out, and that seemed like you would race, and when you speak to you, athletes don't go around speaking to people in the stadium. You just don't. But when you're on stage, you do. You meet people at the bar before the gig, and that was really what was calling me. Like, just, it'd be great to have loads of friends.
But then, you stopped running when you were on the road with the band. Like, was that like a conscious decision that you didn't have the time anymore, or did it just kind of peter off? Or
it was kind of I was getting a little bit disillusioned with running anyway, because I came sixth at the World Championships, and then 2007 I was kind of like, I was still running well, but I felt like I couldn't see how I could get better. I didn't understand. And I hadn't been running long. I'd only been maybe doing 800 meters for like 3 years. And I felt like I was doing all the training. I'd sacrificed a lot to do it. And it's, you know, we hadn't had London Olympics. So the whole lottery funding thing wasn't that great. And I was just kind of like, I don't think, and I don't mean any disrespect to it, but I just thought, I don't think anybody knows what they're doing. I'm meeting Wozakowski, who was like the Olympic champion, and Bungai, who won the Olympics. I'm chatting to them, and their training just seems to come from another dimension to mine. And I don't know who I'm gonna speak to get me in on that level. And I was just having loads of fun playing gigs. So you know what? Nobody really can tell you if like how to improve as a musician. You just work at it. And I thought, that's it. If that's something I can do myself. That's, you know what I mean? It's like, I couldn't go down a track on my own and train myself to win the Olympics, but I could definitely go down a studio and teach myself to write songs and record songs to sell out a couple of venues, and it seemed like the easier option.
Yeah. And so, I mean, fast forward a few more years then, back to sort of present day-ish, and the co-founding then of Running Punks. So, you know, sort of that. Yeah. That love of music, that love of running, and then sort of that combating of loneliness and, like, you know, celebrating being unique and individual, that all came about. How did that happen? Where did that come from?
It was strange. It happened really naturally, much like the running reviews did. It just happened because of like who I was at that particular time. And I was still kind of in a band when I started running again. I was really unhealthy. I was drinking a lot. I was a bit of a naughty boy. I was into partying. I was often getting in trouble with like police on a night out. I was a bit wild. And I just started running again on January the 1st. And I was still, you know, I was doing updates on Instagram and stuff. And I was a bit wild. And I was like, oh, I've had a heavy night. I've been out drinking. I'm going to do a run. I've got a gig tomorrow. I'm going to try doing a run. And I think even though not many people were in the same boat, people were busy. And they just saw this person running and somehow fitting it into a really hectic lifestyle. Yeah. And people were reaching out to me, and I was doing races in like cotton t-shirts because I had no kit left. And people just said, oh my God, it's amazing that you're brave enough to run in a cotton t-shirt. And I was like, it's got nothing to do with bravery. That's the only running kit I've got. So I just started noticing that people were just the whole thing just appealed to people. It was like this guy who could run, but was doing it in his own unique way. And then I met a school friend, Rodri, who was like a drummer in a band when we were in school. We saw each other doing a local race. I was doing the half marathon, he was doing a full marathon. And we kind of passed each other as he was going into his second lap and I was finishing the first lap. We had like a little high five, then we were chatting. And then he said, you know, our senior return to fitness has inspired me. There must be other people who are like into music, wouldn't go to a normal run club. Let's set up a thing called Running Punks. And that was it. And we thought we would be like the big hairy bikers, just me and him would be the only Running Punks. It's just going from race to race in Running Punks t-shirts. But it just captured people's imagination, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, I mean, how many people are, you know, identify as a Running Punk?
Yeah, thousands, thousands. It's kind of, yeah, it's, and it's mad because I see people in Running Punks t-shirts. Or like I was at the services quite recently and I saw someone in the services with a Running Punks jumper on. And I just look at it and I just think, oh, that's another Running Punk. Not like, oh, that person's bought something from our shop.
Yeah.
But I started. I just think, oh, that's another Running Punk. And then I go over and talk to them. And I just feel like, you know, we're all just the same. We're all running for similar reasons. Yeah. Like we're mates.
Yeah. And so Running Punks, I guess, is it, so would you describe it as a running club?
Yeah, I think I would. I wouldn't at the start. I would have said it was a collection of people. But I think run clubs have come on so much recently that it is a run club now. You know, it's in many ways, it's not that unique anymore. You've got like breweries with run clubs, pubs with run clubs. So now it's just a run club. But at the start, it felt like a really unique thing.
Yeah, when it's, but it's like virtual in the fact that, you know, there are people who are running punks from all around the country, and it's not like you meet up once a week at this time and you all get together at that particular point every week or anything like that.
They meet in Cardiff on a Wednesday and Saturday, or a Sunday, Wednesday and Sunday, but I never go, because every time I go, I just sit in the car in the car park and just think, nobody likes me. So I get really excited going down there. I'm going to meet all these people I've seen on the internet. And then we run, and then I do realise it's a challenge to be as chatty as me. So the I'm trying to be really chatty and I'm like, oh, there's not much conversation. And then I usually sit in like as the car park going, I'll give her a miss for a while. So I don't go very often, but there's people who meet up every twice a week for a run, and it's lovely. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, amazing. That's so, like, it must be really cool to see that, like, grow that community, even if you are on the outskirts of it, watching from afar in your car.
Yeah, I look at all the run club pictures. You'll never see me there because I do want to be there, but I just feel weird when I've done it. I just leave. I just drive home thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, I just realised, oh, I've got a bit of a dark sense of humour and I would have said a lot of things during a run. I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Then I'm worried. I think, oh, I'm going to get cancelled by my own community. And I don't go then.
Oh my god. All right, so we've fleshed out a little bit of the stuff that we went through in the intro on our podcast. I did give you a little bit of a heads up of some of the bits that we do on our pod. Yeah. And we usually start with your win, grim, and get in the bin. So Jimmy, I'd like to start with your win in running. And you know, no time scale required. Normally, like, me and Ali do one each week, but there's no time scale on this. What is your win when it comes to running?
I thought about this because when you sent me the question, I was looking at it, I was like, this is quite obvious, like winning the British champs, winning the Welsh champs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, the biggest win for me was when I went for a run in Llanelli with a hangover in 2020, January the 2nd. And it was sunset. And this strange thing happened where it was definitely due to dehydration. But I felt like the whole world around me was speaking in a language that you didn't have to understand. It was really odd. I felt, lots of people say, like a connection. I felt a connection, but I also felt like I understood like what was going on. It was really weird. I can't describe it. If I was a really good poet, I could write a poem about it. But ever since that day, I never drank alcohol. Never drank alcohol again. It just put everything into this perspective that I could kind of feel. Like I'd had, it felt like I'd had the greatest lemon iced tea in the world. And it was like tickling my stomach as I drank it. And I was like, this is all caused by the fact that I'm just out running during sunset and it's beautiful beyond words. I don't need to go to pubs anymore. So that's my win.
Wow. So you've been sober then since the 2nd of January, 2020?
Yeah. So four and a bit years.
Yeah.
Which, like, people who knew me back in the day, that's a miracle. I was, you know, I don't know. I would have a pint to celebrate everything.
I mean, you were a musician, like on the road, like a pretty yeah. successful musician, right? So
yeah, it would, and like a pretty successful musician who didn't make much money, and people were aware you weren't making money. So when you went to the venues to play, they were trying to make you happy by giving you free alcohol. As if that, oh, we're not going to pay you much, but hey, look at all this booze, and I just drank it all. So that's my win, just realizing that, you know, it was like a big mind shift for me, because running had always been a very serious thing. And it was always broken down into like figures and numbers, what's your heart rate and things like that. And all of a sudden I just realized that running was just nice. and it was good for you. So that's my biggest win, realizing that running is nice and good for you.
Yeah, I read something when I was doing some research on you earlier. I read something where you were talking about, I think you were on the track getting ready to run in a competition or something, and you'd gone for a little trot in the woods.
Yeah.
And you were like, I actually would prefer to run in the woods right now rather than run around a track. Is that, that's right, is it?
It was in Nijmegen in Holland, and I did the warm up, and it was a little pine forest by the track.
Yeah.
And the smell took me back to being a kid running up the mountains. And the mountain behind my mum and dad's is all pine forest. And the smell was exactly the same. And I've always hated the smell of a running track in the summer, always. And I was like, oh, this smells so nice. Like, and all my nerves went. And I was like, I'd love to just run around here. And I kind of reluctantly went back on the track. I had to race because I was paid to go out there. And I remember thinking, this is it. Like, this is the beginning of the end for me. I've realised there's things I'd rather be doing. So,
that sort of when you were able to differentiate between sort of running for a job and running as something fun to do? Because I guess, like, did you ever find running fun when it was your job?
I found winning fun. I really enjoyed winning. It was like the fun. It was, you know, like it was like your birthday or something. Training I enjoyed, there's lots of it I didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy like going down the lab, being tested on a treadmill. I didn't enjoy stuff like that. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff I didn't enjoy, but I guess like the stuff which was thrilling, I loved, and it's the stuff I still love now. You know, I still love training. I'm on a mission to do is quite a lot of hard training at the moment, and I'm just loving it. So yeah.
Amazing. So something grim about running is our next one. And I've just got a quick question actually to dive in here, which might count as a grim. You mentioned about an altitude tent, and I'm always so intrigued by these because, like, I used to work with a very good professional athlete also, Andy Badley, who I think you know.
I know him, yeah. Yeah.
And he was telling us about the altitude tent situation. You have to wee in an altitude tent. Like, you're not allowed to leave to go for a wee, are you?
I didn't. I mean, I left. But yeah, you like, yeah, it's not uncommon for them to just have bottles of pee in your bed.
Yeah.
I had mine taken off me because they asked me how I was getting on with it. And I said, it's amazing how quickly you can get drunk in an altitude tent. And I had it taken off me because... I was skint. I was a student. I wasn't earning a lot of money from running. And I saw a documentary about why people get so aggressive on planes, right? And it's because like altitude makes you get drunk quicker. And I thought, you know what? That's a good way to save money. So I would like invite friends over who weren't runners, and we would sit in the altitude tent, put it on as strong as you could go, and we would drink 4 cans of Stella and then go out. So,
oh my God.
I had mine taken off me.
That's really funny.
I know.
Oh God.
And then all my housemates are really happy though, because the altitude tent is so noisy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You think, like, oh, they'd be like, oh, that's a you know, God, didn't you have that taken off you? But like, oh, you know, thank you. Because we couldn't sleep. You were getting bigger lungs and we couldn't sleep. Yeah. So I never peed in it, but I got pissed in it.
Okay, probably just as well. So do you have a grim about running?
I get cut short quite a lot. I don't find it grim. If I've got to go in the woods, I got to go in the woods.
Yeah.
But I think there's been a few examples where running has felt really grim, and that was running for Wales in Bratislava in Slovakia in 2005. And someone stole my kit bag when I was warming up, so I had to do the race in boxer shorts.
Oh, no.
So that was really grim. Because of like the sweat patches, the fact that I went down the home straight on the last lap, I was convinced my dick was out. I kept checking. It was horrible. So that, like, I've given myself the ick thinking about that. I was like 23 and I can't let it go.
Would you not have been better staying in your jogging bottoms?
Do you know what? Yeah, I would have been. But I think part of me was like, also like, this is cool. I'm going to do it. Because everyone's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm just going to run in my in my pants, basically. Oh. And I did it. that's terrible. That's grim. And running at a music festival, like camping for a week and doing 2 run clubs a day at Green Man is really disgusting. Just what? The smell of my kit.
2 runs a day?
Yeah, I know. I feel like, so Green Man is a really good festival in Wales, and it's really hard to get a ticket anyway if you're going to buy it. And it's especially hard to get a freebie. And I had like an in there where I did a run club a couple of years ago, yeah. And they were inviting me back. And then I felt like they were kind of saying, you have to earn this free ticket. So they were, how many run clubs can you do a day? And I said 3. I said I could do 3. And each run is 10K. And on the first day, I took 3 run clubs. And then I was the second day, nobody turned up for the last one. So just 2. So it was averaging like 2 run clubs a day. And I was sleeping in a tent. My kit. When I was a kid, for some reason, I microwaved a whole packet of chocolate digestives. And I put it in the microwave for like 30 minutes. My parents were on holidays. I didn't have house parties. I just microwaved odd food. And it was the worst smell in the world, right? It was people were coming out on the street, like sniffing their drains, complaining about the sewers. It was me microwaving 20 chocolate digestives.
And for 30 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing. I just put it in the microwave. I think I just left it and I forgot about it. And then I was out the garden trying to jump over a wall or something. And then I came back in the house. I was, oh my God, what is that smell? And for years, there was like, that's the worst smell ever. And my tent on a boiling hot day in August, when it's got 2 pairs of running trainers and kit that run a week in. And then I've gone running and just met loads of people and we're all hugging. That's grim.
Oh, that is very grim.
That's grim. That so compared grim. To all that, like having a poo in the woods is quite nice.
Yeah. It's really quite refreshing. Nice. Quite refreshing. Yeah. Oh, God. It probably smells, well, it smells better.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and then finally, then something that you would put in the bin about running. Now, I was like, oh, I think I know what you're going to say about this one, but I want to see if I'm right. What are you putting in the bin?
I think you know that I'm going to say the Strava fitness score.
Yes, good.
Yeah, I think that should definitely go in the bin or just be renamed. Why is it called a fitness score? But more than that, I because I'm taking the piss with it. I am just having a bit of fun with it. So Strava fitness score going in the bin, definitely. And also people who take it seriously. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God. So the Strava fitness score. So what happened to start this all off? I think I missed the original, like what the origin story, but we're like a week into you trying to like build your fitness score here.
The origin story of Strava man.
What happened, Strava man?
So I started the year like quite out of shape. I hadn't done a lot of running last year because of just life was difficult. So running took a bit of a backseat. And I started this year, I was like, you know what, I'm going to get really fit this year. And I did a thing with Six Music where we did a Rebels relay. We had people all around the world running. So I was like running loads. I was writing myself training plans. I was getting fit. And then I decided to take a week off because I was like, I've trained really hard. I need a recovery week.
Yeah.
And I took a week off. And my fitness score had gone from like 90 to 50. It just plummeted. And I was like, that's okay. It maybe did bother me a little bit. I was like, that's really crazy because it's good for you to rest, right? Because I was going to the physio more often because my back was hurting, my knees were hurting. I'm like 42 this year. And I was like, I need a rest because it's good for me. And you're always told rest is good for you. And then I looked at Strava, I was like, oh my words, that's not been good for me at all. So I was really keen to see how you build that back up. And I've never really paid attention to the fitness before, never. So I was like, oh, this should be quite interesting to build it back up. And then I was noticing things like one night I would lose 1 Strava point for sleeping. The next night I would sleep in the same bed and lose 2 points. What? What's good? And then I noticed that I did a really tough session and I gained 1 fitness point, and it was a really hard session. And then I did a 15-minute cool down and I gained 1 fitness point. So yeah. Strava is just crazy. Strava's crazy. So I'm on this mission now where I'm looking to get my fitness back up. And yeah, it's really entertaining. In a weird way, it's motivating me.
It really is. But yeah, just get in the bin. Get in the bin.
Get in the bin.
Yeah.
It is, the videos are so funny. So you're doing like a daily training diary, basically, of like what points you've lost overnight for sleeping and what points you've gained back for the runs that you've done. I ran half of a 100-kilometer ultra that I was supposed to be doing last year because I, turns out I was pregnant, didn't know. Yeah. And had a chest infection. My Strava fitness points went up by like 30 just because I ran 50K terribly. But just because I recorded an activity that was like 7 hours long, they were like, oh, well done. And I'm like,
it's crazy.
I'm in the bin. I am literally in the bin.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm super fit.
According to Strava, I'm really fit. Like if I could get a job off it, you know what I mean? Like, or if I could get a loan, a bank loan based on my Strava fitness score, that'd be amazing. Other than that, what's it good for? What, like, and it seems to, I feel like I'm ranting now.
But
if I feel like it rewards you more for like a slow, easy run than an absolute monster of a session. You know, it's like I did a run in Bath. It was nice and easy, and I had like 3 fitness points. I was like, wow, that's a lot of fitness points in the currency of fitness. I'm pretty much a millionaire. And then I did this mad session, which was like, I was nearly vomiting. I was like, yeah, here's 1 fitness point for that. I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
So I think you said you started like the year or whatever on like 90, and then you like took the rest week and it went down to 50.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued to know how much higher than 90 you can go.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the top score?
I know, that's the thing.
What's it out of?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And people have been sending me the Strava fitness score. People who care as well and take it seriously. And I'm telling them, it's okay. I'm going to be okay. But people are like, oh, don't worry about it. I was in a similar boat to you. And I'm on like 180, you know? So I'm like, I thought it was a percentage.
No,
like,
how, it how is it? Goes above 100.
That's crazy. So I don't know. It's like fishing, right? I feel like I'm just going fishing now because I don't know what I'm going to come back with. I just see a runner. I'm just sitting on this bank of some unknown body of water, and I don't know what I'm going to take back to the car. You know, I come back to the car and I check Strava. I'm like, oh, just the one, like a little minnow, a tiny fish that's not going to feed my family. But I do a little gentle jog around Bath and stop for beers and
like
a cinnamon bun, and
I've got
like a swordfish to feed the village. Makes no sense.
No,
but
let's put it in the bin.
Yeah, chuck it in the bin or rename it. I don't know, but it's just an odd one for me. I'm just gonna keep on doing it.
Yeah,
but I also hate it.
It's like the Garmin status, like training status, where you do a run and it's like unproductive. Like, how was that unproductive? Or it's like, yeah, you are overreaching. That was far too hard for your level of ability. Knock yourself down a peg.
It's like going to like you using like a self-service machine in a supermarket and it criticizes the money in your bank. Do you know what I mean? It's like you tap your card and it's like,
is that all you got?
Pretty close to the overdraft there. You're like, oh, whoa. Don't tell everybody.
Oh my God.
It's just shaming. We've been shamed by technology before it's even taken over us.
Yeah. And we're all addicted to it and it's all our fault.
I know. I know. It's so true.
Would you ever run without your watch now?
No. No. I wouldn't. I've never done that anyway because when I ran for Great Britain, we didn't have watches like this.
No.
And to me, it's just such a real cool thing. Like real cool thing because I do like numbers. I do like statistics, but I don't go too deep. I just look at how far I've run a week. And if I go over a certain amount, I know I start falling apart. So I really like it because it's just kind of like, it's easy on. I would never run without it. I know lots of punks don't wear watches, but sorry, that can never be me. That's why they probably don't talk to me at run clubs because they see me with my watch.
You're a slave to your watch, Jimmy.
Definitely.
When you were running competitively, did you have like a paper training journal? Did you write your runs down and use like a Casio stopwatch?
Yeah, so all my training was in time.
Yeah.
So my runs, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and then write it down. And then like heart rate, I seem to remember heart rate monitors before GPS watches. I don't know if I'm right on that, but there was a little bit where we were running within heart rate zones. And I was like, this is really cool. And then I quit. And then I start again when I'm like late 30s. And then I've got to watch the measures, everything. And to me, this is great. This is great. Maybe I would have stuck at athletics. There's two things that make me think I would have stuck at athletics when I was younger. A GPS watch and social media.
No way.
Yeah. Really? And those are the ones that people are like, oh, so bad for you. But I'm like, no, because if I could do reels and stuff as a GB athlete, I would have been loving it. I would absolutely been loving it. And it would have led to more work. So I wouldn't have been working in supermarkets, stacking shelves. I could probably go on podcasts and stuff. Like those things didn't exist.
Yeah.
And if I had a watch that like I could put sessions on and things like that, I would probably have a bit more faith to do my own stuff. You know?
Yeah.
It's funny.
There you go. Interesting. So at the moment, you're training for Swansea Half, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to do Swansea Half. I'm going to do a 10K before it as well. Not on the same day. No, that's ridiculous. Ooh. Yeah, I usually commentate at these races and I've had enough now. I just want to race them.
Are you that sort of guy where you turn up to commentate and you're like, oh, I really wish I was just doing it?
Oh my God.
Give me my trainers.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I could have come third today if I'd run that. Oh, I could have come fourth. I just need to race more. Just because I don't want 2024 to be like 2023, where I just got so like lazy with it all and just struggled with it. I need goals this year.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So we've chatted a bit about music and about your sort of background in music, which is kind of like a really good tie-in for having you on this pod, because we love music on this pod too. Ali used to work in the music industry. I work in radio, and we both have a love of music that's very, very different. So we always ask our legends to add three songs to our playlist, which is super eclectic. So I've given you a heads up early in advance for this one too. So as not to spring it on you. But what's your first song that you'd like us to add to our playlist?
I feel a bit embarrassed about this, but it's going to be one of my own, if that's okay.
Yeah, love it. Okay? Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad you went in. First song as well, my song. That's what
I know. I mean, all three are going to be my songs. No, they're not. Yeah. Just the one.
Need the royalties, don't you, Jimmy?
I do need the royalties. I need to be on some kind of playlist. You know, I just thought I got to make the most of this opportunity. It was the same when I did the Six Music stuff. I was like, can I just talk about my own band for a little bit? I've picked this one. Okay, so I've gone kind of solo. I've called myself Joyce, because I love James Joyce, and my name is James. So it's like, oh, cool, James Joyce. So I called myself Joyce, and I wrote an album last year and recorded it. It's coming out this year on a label called Human Worth, and there's the first single came out in February, and it's called Deja Vu, and it's a song where I kind of pieced it all together on a run. So that's why I've picked it. I had an instrumental version of it for nearly a year, which I wrote and recorded with a friend of mine called Tom. And I had this instrumental track for a year. And I would now and again, I would stick it on at the end of a run and listen to it. I got to find something to do with this. Like there's something here. And I just wrote all the lyrics and the melody while out running.
Yeah.
And that never happened. Yeah. And it was the first time it happened. And then that's how the whole album was pretty much written. I just went listening to the instrumental tracks on a run, and I wrote the lyrics when I was running. So Joyce and Deja Vu. Yeah.
Nice. I love that. So if you had to describe it, let's say you were listening to it on one of your run reviews, how would you describe it?
It's quite swampy. It sounds like a man with no teeth coming out of a swamp singing. It's got big bass. We swapped one of the drums with a flight case and we slammed it because it just had this monstrous sound. And lyrically, it's about deja vu. It's just kind of like, oh, I've been here before, and that's sometimes how I feel when I'm running. I just think, oh, hang on a minute, I've felt this before. And it's about being stuck in a situation that you don't feel you can get out of. But there might be hope, and you might be able to break free from that repetition.
I love it. Brilliant. Yeah. There we go.
It was played on a guitar with four strings, which was broken. It sounds terrible. Like, it sounds really bad. It sounds like a bunch of middle-aged men in the tip playing instruments from a skip, but it's cool.
The tip is mine and Ali's favourite place to go on a weekend. Oh, so.
You should like deja vu then. It sounds like it's being played in a tip.
Oh, amazing. Love it. Right, brilliant. Song number two.
Song number two is not mine. This is definitely a song I wish I wrote. I've been obsessed with this song. I recently did a 17-mile run with this song on loop, and this song is less than 3 minutes long. And I wasn't fed up of it. It's Von Dutch by Charlie XCX. I am absolutely obsessed with it. A friend of mine described it as there's some kind of crack cocaine in that song because it's so addictive. And that's exactly how I feel. I put it on, I'm like, oh my words, I gotta listen to it again. I'd recently borrowed my sister's car. She's got a really fancy car, an amazing sound system. It's like being in a club. And I went for like a 2-hour drive for that song on loop.
Well, I was about to say, you listened to it on loop for a 17-mile run. I mean, 17 miles for you is what, like an hour?
No, it was up the mountain, so it took me over 2 hours. Like an hour. It took me over 2 hours. It's like a nice trail run. And even now, like I've rinsed that song.
Yeah.
I still listen to it every day.
Amazing. I don't think I'm familiar with it. I'm going to have to listen to it.
Oh my word. What? You know who Charlie XCX is though?
Yeah, yeah. Is it her newest one or is it an old one?
It's like the
like a grandma. It's her new material.
Is it from the 50s? Has it got Eddie Cochran on it? It's the first single that was released like to announce a new album. So I think it came out 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Yeah, so it is pretty new.
I'm obsessed. And it's gone, lyrically, I do not relate. I do not relate to any of it. It's about knowing you're hot and sexy and everybody wishing they were you. I do not relate, but I cannot get enough of it. It's so childish, but something about it, it sings to me.
Great. Brilliant. Yeah. And then your third song.
This is a really rogue choice.
Okay, and we love rogue.
Okay, is this playlist going to be on Spotify?
Yeah.
Okay, you can find it on Spotify. I had to check so you could find it.
Yeah.
It's a song, I had to write it down. It's called Al Mursal, and then in brackets, The Messenger.
Yeah.
And it's by a gentleman called Mohammed Wardi, who's a Sudanese poet and singer. And songwriter.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was like really political and he got jailed a lot. He was very left-wing. He was a communist.
Okay.
He would write songs and then he would end up in jail because he wrote these songs because they were so kind of like political and just, I mean, I don't understand a word of it. It's in Sudanese, but, you know, Wikipedia tells me this. And he did this thing where in 1990, he played a gig to 250,000 Sudanese refugees in Ethiopia, I think, or something. In Ethiopia. So, like, this massive political figure. And when I started running again in 2019, I read Born to Run by Chris McDougall.
Yeah.
And I was making his Mexican drink in the morning with, like, mint leaves in it and chia seeds.
Yeah.
And I was, like, getting in touch with the earth. I felt like, oh, yeah, I'm part of a tribe. And I started listening to, even though that's set in Mexico, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I started listening to a playlist on Spotify called Sounds of Sudan. Because I just like running with music that sounds like it comes from a hot country. Mm. Particularly like living in West Wales where it's always raining and wet. And there was this song that just came on one day when I was running and it's like 11 minutes long. It's like so beautiful. I have no idea what he's saying. And I just listened to it. I was like, oh, wow, that's like, I definitely know I'm doing something I love because I'm running listening to this and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. So I just kept listening to that song over and over and it's become like my pre-race song. I listen to it like, I'm scared of flying, so I listen to it like in airports and stuff, and it just has this ridiculous calming effect on me. So yeah, Al Mursal, The Messenger.
Yeah, I love it. Perfect.
11 minutes long.
I'm looking forward to listening to that. So yeah, 11 minutes long, perfect. I mean, our playlist at the moment is about, I can't remember how many hours we're up to now. It's about 24 hours, I think.
Okay.
So, it's all good.
Yeah, this will tip it over to the next day, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Brilliant. Brill. So yeah, for you, like when you run, do you listen to music on every run? Is music that big of a part of your life that you have to have it? Because I know for me, working in radio, like my other half can't figure out how I know all the words to every pop song ever. And it's because I've been conditioned, because I hear them on repeat all day, every day at work. But because I always have music on when I'm working, I do feel like I have to have music on when I'm running, unless I'm running with someone else, because that'd be really rude.
Yeah.
But do you have, can you imagine? Just like, okay, let's go for a run together. Do you have music for every run, or is it certain runs, certain types of runs?
I always take my headphones with me, so I've always got the option. Mm. And then some days I'll be like, nah, I don't fancy it today. It's weird. If I run up the mountain, I don't usually listen to music. It's quite rare. I just run and I just like the sounds of the mountain. But if I'm running around the town, I put my headphones in because I don't want to hear traffic. I don't want to hear people probably calling me Forrest Gump. So a lot of it is like drown out the surroundings. If I'm not, like, I don't really want to be running here, so the music will drown it out. But I've always got the option there. I always listen to music when I'm doing sessions, because again, I sound like such an old man, but that's like such a novelty for me. If I could do track sessions back in the day with bone conducting headphones on, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
So it's a real novelty to me to be able to do like kilometer reps listening to my favorite bands. It's really nice.
And do you feel like that helps you as well? Like a lot of people do find that music, and it's scientifically proven, music does help you sort of not realize the effort that you're putting out.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier, as it were. Do you find that, like, when you're doing sessions, when you're listening to music, it helps keep you going and it helps you run faster?
Yeah, but interestingly, like, not in the way you expect. I don't find really upbeat, huge rock songs motivate me. I find the songs that actually transport me to my youth help me loads. So, and that can be like really slow stuff.
Yeah.
It'll just take me back to like when things didn't hurt. So I feel like I can run better, you know. And I got loads of people like, oh, they listen to like Pendulum or AC/DC and Queens of the Stone Age, bands I love. But that kind of music doesn't make me run faster. It's like the more gentle stuff that's just like, you know, Britpop or cool pop songs that I just like, oh yeah, I remember listening to this and I had a full head of hair. And do you know what? All things considered, it's quite nice that I'm out running really hard. And then the effort just goes. So
Yeah. Awesome. So you mentioned about having like some goals for this year to keep you sort of focused and on the straight and narrow with your running and to keep it up. So besides the 10K and the half marathon, is there anything else on the horizon for you for 2024?
There's something massive on the horizon. It's happening, but I would have expected it to be, I don't know, more constant updates. But I'm going to America in October. And I'm going to run from Austin to Seattle. And I'm going to run, I'm not going to run all the way, sorry. I'm going to run 30 miles a day, but like cumulative. So say I turn up to a random car park and three people run with me, we have to do 10 miles. And then I'm going to play a gig every evening as Joyce. And I'm going to do this little music and running tour across America for a documentary. So that's why I really need to be running well, because there's going to be some points in the run where no one's going to come because we're going to be in like Joshua Tree or something. Yeah. And I'm going to have to run 30 miles on my own. So yeah, that's at the moment, it's going to be end of September, beginning of October.
Yep.
And a month. It's going to be 25 gigs in 25 days and 25 runs.
Yeah. And so those 25 days, you'll run 30 miles on each of those days.
Yeah. So the target is like, basically, someone got in touch and they wanted to make like a life story. They saw the mad shit they've been up to and they're like, that'd be really cool as a film. So they got loads of like archive footage, like old races. And I was on like a Channel 5 documentary when I was 18. So there's loads of clips of me as a kid when I'm just falling in love with running. So they got all this really cool footage and we were filming stuff like with my parents and like just out and about running with my family and stuff. And it was like, this film needs an ending.
Mm.
And initially it was like, oh, do you think you could run for Great Britain again on the track? I was like, no, no chance. No chance. And bless them, I don't think they understood. I was like, no chance. Oh, what about like 5K? I was like, no, you are like, you have no idea how crap I am. Like, compared to, no, I can't do it. So we were thinking of challenges, and then they were all winding me up a little bit, because I was like, I don't like this whole running is hard, you know, like the hardest geezer. No, it's not for me.
No, it's not for us either.
I'm not like, I don't get it. Why are you acting so tough? You're shorter than Rishi Sunak. Just
that was a surprise.
That was a very big surprise.
Or a very small one.
Oh, I was like, whoa, he's little. Yeah, like, oh, he okay. Is. Little But maybe it's the friction of all the miles just worn his legs away, like some Roald Dahl character.
I remember reading, I'm sure it was in like a Runner's World magazine back in the day when I did my first marathon, that they were like, you lose an inch of height over the course of running a marathon because of the pressure. So think of all those marathons he's run, he's definitely lost a few feet. He's like 6'10".
He's like an atom now. He's just a little atom. So there were loads of challenges like that. I was like, do you know what? That's just not me. It's not me. I don't get why you should be aggressive at all doing a run or anything. So I was like, well, can I just go on tour? Yeah, I just go on tour of the band. And they were like, yeah, that's a cool idea. Yeah. How about you run before every gig? I was like, that's really nice, because I toured America and it was a dream come true as a musician, and I can't remember it because I drank so much. So it'd be nice to go back to America sober and start little run clubs and stuff like that. So we've found a happy challenge, which is not going to turn me into like the face of Huel. I'm just going to eat normal food and run with people with a smile on my face.
Yeah, and actually enjoy
it. So that's what I'm doing.
Make some new memories.
Cancelled for all that.
No, you're not. Yeah. Hey, producer Julius, make sure you leave that in, even if you get a cease and desist.
Oh, do you know what? I did a running review for Huel just because I fancied it, and they were like, "Oh, this is amazing! Here's £50," and then I went on the shop and I couldn't get anything
because it's all more than £50.
I was like, "Oh, what can I get with this?" So I had to use my own money. But I know I do like it anyway. I've gone off point. But I'm doing that this year. I'm running and gigging and running with people, which is what I love doing.
Yeah, amazing. You're making a documentary. You write songs. Would you write a book?
Love to. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. I'm surrounded by books at the moment. You can't see this room I'm in, but it's literally, if I just go like this on one side of the computer, I'll come back with something like that.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah, I'm obsessed. I actually just read a really nice running book called Poverty Creek Journal. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's by an American poet, and he just wrote one diary entry a week for a year.
Yeah.
And he's like, he was 60. It was his 60th birthday. He was 60 that year. And he started, I'm just going to write one as a poem. And tragically, his brother died.
Right.
After like two months into the year, his brother died.
God.
So you have these like diary entries, which is poetry, and how just running helped him deal with loss and grief. It was incredible. Like,
oh, wow.
So, yeah, like such a mad running book. And that is... give me like a little kick up the ass going like, that's a really unique way to do it.
Mm.
I'd like to write about running, but in a strange way.
Yeah. Like a written version of your running reviews, but more about running than the reviews.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'd love to, I do start all the time. It's always in January. I always start stuff in January. I'm like, I'm going to write my book this year. And then I just write songs because they're easier.
Like, yeah. Well.
Yeah. Maybe. But I'm going to do it.
Maybe a collection of songs about running.
That'd be quite good. That'd be quite good. Like a musical. You tell me I should do a musical.
Oh my God. If you do Running the Musical, please can I be involved? Please.
Definitely. That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Oh my God.
I found it too hard to write an autobiography, so I've written a musical about the history of running.
Or we could just tell the story of Forrest Gump, but through music.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That'd be really. And like, because that's quite a long story as well. So there'd be like loads of, 50, well, like the film, the soundtrack is like 50s, 60s, 70s,
80s. Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, that's good.
And then
that's
we could bring it up to the present day, and then we could use the Black Eyed Peas song, run in, run in, and run in, run in, and run in.
And then Forrest Gump quits because his Strava fitness scores not what he expected.
Yeah.
He just quits. Brilliant. He stops running. He's like, my fitness score's gone down overnight.
I'm not going to do this anymore.
No, it's not worth it. It's not. Do you know what? Making all these people happy, uniting a country is not worth it because my fitness is going down.
Amazing. Oh, right. Well, on that note, Jimmy, thank you so, so much for being such a top guest.
Thank you.
Super excited to see how you get on in the States. And yeah, thank you so much for being a great sport.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me. Honestly, it's a real honour.
Anytime.
I've really enjoyed it.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System, sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories, because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.